Welcome to Family by Design, a weekly radio program brought to you by
Wellspring Christian Family Schools,
the education ministry of WCF Church, located in Sebillesville, Maryland. We hope that today, in some way, we will help you to treasure God's design for your family.
Because the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
Well, hello and welcome to Family by Design. I'm Joel Fisher and so glad that you have taken time to listen to the broadcast today. We have a unique message for you today. Pastor Gary gave this message at our 2018 Family Leadership Conference. And the name of the message is The Law, the Word, and the Family. And this message was given to the families who are enrolled in Wellspring Christian Family Schools. The Family Leadership Conference is really an orientation conference for families as they begin the school year. And this particular message has both some philosophy and biblical foundation, as well as some real practical understanding of the intersection between the responsibilities of parents to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and also to, as best as they can, honor and obey the governing authorities. And Gary is going to talk a little bit about that, what's really required of the Christian parent when it comes to these sorts of things. There's going to be some information in there that may or may not be applicable to you, depending on where you are, whether you're homeschooling in Maryland or whether you're homeschooling at all. But nonetheless, all these things are relevant and of interest to especially a Christian who's seeking to honor the Lord as well as the authorities that we are commanded to give honor to and to obey here in this world, especially particularly to us in America and, of course, the state of Maryland. So, without any further introduction, let's take a listen to Gary's message at the 2018 Family Leadership Conference entitled The Law, the Word, and the Family.
The session's titled, it's keynote two, The Law, the Word, and the Family. And in your books, there's a couple of pages here, as well as another handbook, that thing that we'll be commenting on. Now, in this section, just for your recognition, we're doing a little bit of team tag between Joel and I. So I'm to do a couple quick sections, and then Joel is...
We're
going to have a radio program, right. So is that all set up? You can set it up if you need to, anything. All right, so... you can have a Christian homeschool that operates off of the Word of God if you will. And you can start there, and you can be fully legal in that process. So what I want us to understand, Joel's going to later talk about some, in the high school session, some of the NCAA things, and we're trying to fit it into context. But right now, I want you to understand that as we go through this section, there's just a brief history here. I probably should bring this up a little bit more often, but you may not be aware of this, but it wasn't until 1911 that the United States Supreme Court weighed in on a case because Oregon was requiring Mennonites and Amish to have school, to go to school. And the Mennonites and the Amish were very much opposed to education in a school system, in a public school system. And so that particular court case resolved whether or not states can have compulsory attendance. So since 1911, the United States Supreme Court has sided with the states that permits states to require compulsory attendance for school of children in their state. Each state has a little bit of different rule and regulation, but it's been going on with the full blessing of the Supreme Court since 1911. Now, Maryland, somewhere back in that time frame, Maryland adopted a couple laws that are fairly significant. And again, I'm not going to go into the full detail of it, but except to say that on the one hand, 7-301 of the Maryland Education Code requires children to attend public school or receive regular thorough instruction in the same subjects taught in public school. So the way Maryland handled the Supreme Court's decision, part of the Supreme Court's decision was you have to make reasonable accommodations for people of faith. Essentially, that was the argumentation. And so under 2-206, Maryland requires all private schools to hold a certificate of approval from the Board of Education, with one exception, and that's that any churches that operate an educational program, they can do so fully exempt from any scrutiny by the state of Maryland. So that's been on the books for a pretty good amount of time. And back when you received your orientation, if you received a regular orientation, this is one of the presentations that I would do just concerning the law, what's required. So I'm going to go through this really, really rapidly, try to keep myself limited to my time. But I have 11 premises about education, so follow along. Number one, we must obey God. Okay, that's the premier, preeminent. I'm always going to obey God. So the only time I don't obey God is when somebody, excuse me, there's no time I don't obey God. That's little lines for the second one. But number two, God established earthly authority. And so I'm required to obey earthly authority as unto him. And I'll just make a little comment here. It's interesting that the scripture does say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Parents don't have a fiat of authority that they can just govern whimsically over their children. They're governing on behalf of God. And so a child's obedience is drawn out according to their ability to obey God. Same with the state, when we're told to obey every authority established on earth for the Lord's sake. And so what happens is my obedience to any institution of authority that God's ordained is always filtered through the fact that I'm obeying God. So number three, we need to recognize the nature of America. The beauty of America is that the law is king, lex rex. That means there is no government official from the top to the bottom that can just whimsically come up and tell you to do something. Now, the amazing thing to me about Christians is that we recognize we're supposed to obey God, and we recognize we're supposed to obey authorities, but so often we check our brains at the door. And if a government official comes and tells us to do something, we'll just obey the government official because the government official said to, because the Lord said to obey the authorities. But you have to understand, no American government authority has any authority whatsoever except what's codified in the law. And they can never hold you accountable for anything codified in the law without telling you what the law is and demonstrating to you what their authority is in order to carry out the law. So that means that you and I have to be thoughtful in the process. So we go to premise number four, United States Constitution, which I mentioned, the Yoder case, that does protect religious freedom. And established basically this principle underneath that says that compulsory attendance meets a compelling state interest if it's carried out in the least restrictive manner possible. Okay, so premise six, what is that compelling interest of the state? The compelling interest of the state is to prevent all children, underline the word all children from becoming dependent on the state. Now, that's it. That's totally it. So look at premise seven. Maryland's law is regular thorough instruction, And premise 8, the state's interest is in harmony with Scripture. Now, here's where I'm going to do just a quick analysis for understanding where Walkersville comes from when we're dealing with curriculum, okay? When we talk about things like NCAA standards, we're dealing with that out of the framework of Maryland law. But you need to understand that NCAA standards are used when students are wanting to get acknowledged that they did XYZ. The XYZ has to be according to those standards. There's core courses, have to be done in a rigorous fashion to get credit on your diploma, on your transcript, that a college transcript is going to desire or demand. So that's all well and good, but I want us to understand something, okay? The state, in the Yoder case, declared that the object of education is for children to be able to make a living and support themselves in the world they live in. That's compulsory attendance. And so when we get to the place where, like Maryland's law says, receive regular thorough instruction in the same subjects taught in public school. Well, the same subjects taught in public school is a really thin definition. And I don't know if you're aware of this. Best way to find out the same subjects taught in public school is to go to the private school law and find out what subjects private schools are mandated to take. And then you can brace it from there. But when you and I, are, as believers, are able to comment and say, you know what, I don't agree with the certain standards of the public school and how they do things, we have that full legitimate opportunity to step outside of the state's jurisdiction. So the nature that curriculums are being perverted today in our culture is huge. But Maryland's law basically says same subjects, so the subjects are math. Doesn't tell you which math. There's all kinds of math. Graduation requirements for private schools are at least two maths. So we have, you have to understand, Walkersville has been presenting, what?
Wellspring.
Oh, Wellspring, I'm sorry. Thank you. So Wellspring's been doing this for a really short time. So we want you to have your Christian faith in place first, and that's the filter. And we don't want you to be a slave to the world's standards, because you ought to be able to raise your children under the umbrella of repentance, which is the kingdom of God is at hand. How do I raise my kid for the kingdom? And when you look at premise 8, the state's interest is in harmony with 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12. I'll get to that in a minute. That's the underlying, that's the undergirding philosophy of Wellspring. We do not require you to meet some NCAA standard. If you want your transcript to have a course title that the NCAA approves, then you meet that standard for that reason. But that's you and your husband or your wife prayerfully and with your child trying to decide what courses you're taking and why. So when we get to premise 9, Maryland's provided for church schools to operate out of their religious philosophy without interference at all. And that's a huge, huge premise. So summarizing it, verse in premise 10, the genuine participation in WCFS educational philosophy satisfies Maryland's compelling interest. So when you're a part of Walkersville and you're implementing the biblical worldview in your curriculum as we are, and when you're using the Bible as a foundation, and when you make decisions about courses based upon your spiritual commitment, that meets Walkersville's guideline and that meets state guidelines. So you really have a tremendous amount of freedom, and we intend to stand on that by the grace of God as long as we can. The final premise there is do it. Operate by that philosophy. Now, I've got to hurry up because time's a wasting. All right, so next point. On the screen, I have the next little item that's in your booklet. If you turn from those 10 items in your booklet, the next page is a three, four-page summary of some biblical perspective on curriculum. That section's very, very dear to me as a dad and as a Christian. And all these principles that I drew out, believe it or not, I drew out from reading one biography of George Washington Carver. And what I discovered with George Washington Carver is that a Christian gets an education because he has a will to please God, and because he has a will to make the most of his gifts, and because he has a will to serve other people. So these are little, I guess you could call them practical areas of attention that you and I ought to be placing on our home when we're teaching our kids at home. So I don't have time to go through the whole list. I have a few on the screen, the first several ones. Contact with God. Have a personal relationship of dependence upon the Creator through the revelation of the creation, revelation of the Word, and through prayer. Number two, pursuit of curiosity. You have to really understand your children's curiosity. That's the most incredible investment you have to nurture. Our curiosity not only is a part of being human from childhood on, but the manner in which each child exhibits that curiosity is very specific and very unique. And if you're not nurturing your child's curiosity, if you're taking your child and just shoving them through some sieve of process that you think they need to go through, you're missing an opportunity. Anytime a child's curiosity is engaged, they're focused. And while I don't have time to go into it, I do know there'll be some discussion on it during the elementary session, but focus is the key to learning. And if your child focuses on something, they're going to learn. I've always heard it said that children have very short attention spans. Wrong. Children have ridiculously wearing daddy out long attention spans. They just focus on something I'm not interested in. And when I'm wearing their out, them out, I'm focused on something they're not interested in. So we have to capture that. Observation is the first tool. And that's kind of a duplistic thing, but cultivating curiosity means cultivating observation. What do you see? What does it mean? How does it work? And embrace that. Embrace it fully. Embrace it all the way to the top. Self-respect. No one will ever respect you more than you do. And if you don't respect yourself, what you're going to do is trash yourself trying to win other people's respect. But you're never going to get respect. You're going to get bondage to other people's expectations. Grateful contentment. This is huge for a child. The number one killer of child interest is discontent. They look over and see somebody has something they don't have, and all of a sudden they want to have it. And it's a huge matter. But these are the things that you need to be attending to. And yeah, I wish I had put all of them on the screen, but you have them in the booklet here. And with my time, how much time do I have left? I don't have any more time. So, encourage you to continue reading. Well, where is it? I'm sorry, it seems like my notes are so... Oh, that's because that's the next one. I've turned it over. Okay. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Now, this is just a tiny transition as I wrap up with my last 3 minutes here. But I'd like you to pray for Joel and I. We are really making some intentional efforts. During that sharing time that we just had last session, I recognized something that it's been bugging me for a long time. It's really been a highlight of frustration for me. And I'll just read really carefully. This is from my own quiet time that we just did. But I chose verse 22, 2 Timothy 2:22, and it said, "Flee youthful lusts, follow after righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those that call the name of the Lord." And I gathered just some of the meaning. First thing that jumped out at me was repent. You must homeschool every minute of every day under the umbrella of repentance. You, parent, walking in repentance, all of your ideas are bad. All of them. You don't have a good idea that's not fleshly tinted. So you need God's ideas. That's the pursuit. So we repent, we flee youthful lusts, and we follow after. And then he has the net set. Righteousness, faith, love, peace. And then it says, with them. And it just struck me. As Joel and I are working on this, what would happen if your church got involved in education? I just want to say something very simple. I'm not a prophet, and I have no idea what the future holds, but I do know this. If we could have a revival in Christian homes, so that inside a Christian home, the parents learned how to create community in their home, that'd be huge. Children love community. But you can start community in your own home. And these tools that we're working this weekend is significant. But part of that is we do this with those that call upon the heart, call the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. So your family also must be in community. Now, one of the requirements to be in our school that you have to be attending a church, you have to give us the pastor's name and phone number and church address so that you're in community. We're not running just an umbrella for any old body. It's a Christian-based school. You have to adhere to Christian principles. But reality is, we need to be in community. But if you're learning how to build community in your home, then you can step out beyond that, and you can begin learning how to build community with other homes, having the same thing. See, if you don't do it this way, the only other way is by an edict. And edicts don't work. Edicts don't work because they're offensive to the flesh, and when somebody's needing repentance and they're walking in the flesh, all they do is get offended and they leave and they go their own merry way. We don't need offended flesh. We need visionary thoughtfulness by which the flesh gets challenged by, wait a minute, is there something more important than just your little opinion? And you have to do it in family. You've got to do it. I mean, just if you got two kids, you're going to have a battle if you have one toy. And if you have two toys, one kid's going to want both of them. Maybe both of them are going to win both of them. I don't know. So it's a process. And then lastly, I just want to, this is just a little snapshot. Joel's going to talk about it a little more later. But just a reminder, we're a Christian community. And our world that we live in today is at significant risk. I cannot imagine what I've read and seen with my eyes in the last 2 months with respect to this whole idea of gender acceptance. It's just incredible. And the world's been so turned upside down and perverted, and you and I have to deal with it because the world always takes the high ground. What do? They find one person who was poorly treated and treated in a wrong way, bullied or what have you. They use the human emotion to say, well, bullying's wrong. Get your feelings stirred up. And then we create an edict. And in Maryland, we're really in serious trouble. Governor Hogan signed a law banning conversion therapy for minor children. Now, do you know where the term conversion therapy originated? Well, it actually originated from the Bible. You must be born again, except a man be converted. He'll never inherit the kingdom of God. It's a biblical term. We have a governor that signed a law, Senate Bill 1028, that makes raising your children to be a convert to Jesus a crime. Now, I realize it's narrowly being applied to the We nearly have a banned evangelism. It applies directly to paid counselors that have a counseling certificate. But unfortunately, with Gary, he sees the residual effect down the road because it happens that way. I mean, literally, if your child comes up to you and says, I think I'm a boy when she's a girl, or I think I'm a girl when he's a boy, if they say that, conversion therapy means one thing. Banning conversion therapy means one thing. It is dangerous. It places a child at risk if you don't accept them and build up their acceptance of that. So while the technicality of the law may be one thing, here's the residual side effect. It's now a definition of child abuse in Maryland. That if anybody ever catches you counseling your children to be the sex God made them to be, then that's considered putting your child at risk of harm. That's the language of the law. That's the language of child abuse. Risk of harm. So the battle's huge, but how are you going to fight it? Well, we have to fight it by understanding. I mean, that passage that I read, we've got to flee youthful lusts. Okay, there's something we've got to flee, and there's something we've got to embrace. We have to follow after. That's repentance. Flee and follow. That's repentance. We've got to walk lives of conversion. All right, so that...
Well, we've just heard a message from the Family Leadership Conference that was held last August, at the beginning of the 2018-19 school year. And as I said, it was part of an orientation given for our families in Wellspring Christian Family Schools. If you're interested in getting more information about our premier K-12 Homeschool Academy program or our homeschool oversight program, you're welcome to contact us. You can email info@wcfs.edu. You can also go to our website, wcfs.edu. And of course, if you have any questions about this program, you can email us at radio@wcfs.edu, and you're welcome to give us a call at 301-241-2072. Of course, all of our broadcasts are available. If you go to wcfs.edu and click the resource tab button, you'll see the radio program listed there. That will take you to our flagship station, WTHU, and its audio vault that contain the broadcasts we've had over the last several years. We encourage you to do that. On behalf of everybody here at Wellspring Christian Family Schools, still getting used to our new name, I'm Joel Fisher, hoping you'll join us again right here next week at Family by Design, where we help you treasure God's design for your family.
Thanks for spending your time with us today here at Family by Design. Join us every Sunday when we will continue this wonderful journey helping you to treasure God's design for your family.
'Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
Someday the house will crumble, and time will turn the land to dust. And when all accounts are empty, where will you invest their trust?
But if the riches that you give them is the wisdom of his ways, then the wealth you'll leave your children will last through all their days. 'Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus. Is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children.